I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. Welcome to Radio Times. There was another grisly murder in Camden this weekend, and this time the victim was a 6-year-old boy who was stabbed to death in his bedroom. His 12-year-old sister was raped, ran for help, and is recovering from her wounds, which left her in critical condition. The suspect lived down the street and was reportedly high on a combination of PCP and marijuana, known as wet. Camden is one of the poorest cities in the country and has all the problems associated with poverty. And while there is plenty of troubling news about Camden, there are people and organizations doing important work to make the city a better and safer place. And two of them join us today on Radio Times. Tim Merrill's a longtime pastor who's been working in and around Camden, specializing in serving young people who have slipped between society's cracks. He's youth ministry coordinator for the Asbury United Methodist Church in Woodland and director of the Rosedale Baptist Community Ministries, co-founder and senior advisor of the Community Education Resource Network. Tim Merrill, it's been a long time. Nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Good to be back, Marty.
And also with us is Tracy Swam. She's a senior project coordinator for the Walter Rand Institute for Public Affairs at Rutgers Camden, overseeing their public safety projects, including Camden Safer Cities Initiative, Operation Ceasefire, and a prison reentry initiative with the New Jersey Department of Corrections. And Tracy Swam, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me, Marty.
Well, I was going to write a different introduction, and then I read about this little boy who was murdered in Camden over the weekend and his sister who was seriously wounded as well, both of them stabbed in their homes. And if I can begin with you, Tracy, does this tell us anything about Camden?
As I had mentioned before the show started, you know, I thought it was an interesting introduction for you to begin with, because although that was a tremendous tragedy that occurred over the weekend, I think it's a little bit different than, for instance, all the shootings that we saw in the month of July, the 13 homicides. Although it was a horrendous crime, you know, I do believe that it's a little bit isolated compared to the rest of the violence that goes on in Camden. And, you know, my heart goes out to the family, and I wish them, you know, prayers and certainly that they'll be able to get through this horrible situation. At the same time, you know, I think it's important that the community at large, as well as public officials, focus on the overall violence that continues to occur in Camden.
Which I do want to get to. Tim, if I can put to you, and what the investigators, police, are looking at is this thing called WET, a combination of PCP and marijuana. I don't know how prevalent that is in Camden. I don't know how it fits into the drug scene there. Is there anything you can tell us about WET?
Well, yeah, unfortunately, WET has been around for quite a while. We've been dealing with this for almost 20 years. And it was popular for people to come to Philadelphia. And the expression was, I'm going over the blue to get wet, meaning I'm going to Philadelphia to get some wet. It became more popular in Camden about 15 years ago. And it's a stigma for people that use WET. They're known as crazy folk, and it's psychotic episodes are known to come along with the use of the drugs. We've been dealing with it for a long time, but we haven't seen this level of violence. It's usually some severe psychosis that accompanies it, but not this level of just horrendous violence.
And we should add that a young mother decapitated her child and apparently, reportedly, had also been using WET.
Yes. So two incidents within a space of 2 weeks is just unprecedented.
Yeah.
And Marty, I read in the newspaper that the chief of police in Camden, Scott Thompson, indicated that I think it was something like 10 or 15 drug sets that specialize in WET, but overall, there are about 175 open-air drug markets in the city of Camden. So although it may have increased in its popularity, it's very inexpensive, maybe like $20 for a WET cigarette. Mm. So it's, you know, fairly accessible, even those who might not have a lot of means to get a hold of drugs, but it's smaller in comparison to overall what's being sold around in the city of Camden.
I'm trying to comprehend 175
open air drug markets
in the city. Camden is a city, but it's a small city.
Yeah, nine square miles.
Nine square miles. 175 open air markets.
Which has been a situation for so long, and it's going on with impunity. And it points to the history of Camden as a city that just has not figured out how to make things work. It's inexcusable that this many open-air drug markets exist as police ride right by. And and right now we're involved in a police crisis, but it's much more than staffing levels. It's much more than a county police force versus a city police force. This is a historic problem in our city.
And why do you think Camden's not the only city with this problem, but why do you think it's such a pervasive problem?
Because I don't think there's ever been in place a leadership group that can get by its own personal and institutional issues and really get to the issues of the people of the city. And I think that's been a historic problem, not just now, but Angelo Arricchetti's administration and Abscam, Joe Nardi's administration and the riots. This is a historic issue in the city that we have not even begun to even address.
You're talking about government leadership, leadership sort of across the board?
Yes, both city and regional as well, and even at the state level.
What do you think, Tracy?
Well, it's such a complex social problem. It's not just selling drugs isn't just about violence and crime. You know, it really, you have to figure in the poverty levels that exist in Camden, the low education levels that exist in Camden, high unemployment levels that exist in Camden. So to focus on any one area and neglect others isn't really going to solve overall the problem. You have to be able to simultaneously, which is very, very difficult, right, simultaneously address the various aspects of this social issue. And I do think that no matter the number of police that we have in Camden, it's not going to solve. And you'll hear police all the time say, we can't arrest our way out of the problem. We really need leaders to emerge. We need nonprofits to come forward. We need clergy to come forward. And we need the residents to come forward and all work together as one.
Let me turn to you, Tim, because I know you work with a lot of young people. In fact, years and years ago, you brought some young people for a pretty amazing show that we had on Radio Times talking about, frankly, the drug life. What do you think is the lure of that life to young people in Camden?
Well, interesting question, Marty, because right now there is not a lot of lure to that life in Camden. It's an alternative to the lack of opportunities. I speak to drug dealers at least every week and sometimes every day, and all the drug dealers are coming to me, and they have my confidence, so we can speak frankly. And the story is, I want to get out of this mess. It is old. It is dangerous. It's not getting me anywhere. But when we try to turn and look for an option, there are none. So the lure is not there. There are changes in culture. There are changes in the whole drug landscape that leaves only a few who are even making good money out of this Camden drug trade, and most of them, it's a burden. They call it, interesting thing, one of the nicknames for selling drugs in the city is trapping.
Trapping.
Yes. And but the conversation we've been having is, you guys who said you were the trappers are now realizing that you are the trapped. Mm. And many of them are trapped in this life and don't find a way out.
Tracy, you're nodding your head. Go ahead.
Yes, I definitely agree. Although I have also heard that it's a generational issue. Some children have grown up where their grandfather has sold drugs, their father has sold drugs, and that's kind of the only life that they know. And one thing that those in gangs or drug dealers do really well that the rest of us haven't quite figured out how to do better is they will connect to individuals, and they'll say, oh, you don't have a family or you don't have a place. Here, come be part of us, and we will provide that for you. I've done a lot of work in the city of Camden around public safety, and the thing that I hear repeatedly from kids who have turned their lives around or maybe they're still at risk is saying, I'm just looking for someone to care about me.
Mm. And see, so hard. Go ahead.
One of the myths of the drug game in a place like Camden is that it is about the money. It's not about the money. It's about the life. And until we offer an alternative reality for these young people, it will remain being about the life, the sense of family, the sense of drama, the sense of excitement. And I used to take kids white water rafting to keep them off the corner and rappelling down mountains and things like that. Young people in our city need that type of adventure, and if they don't get it from those of us who have access to those experiences, they're going to get it on the drug corner.
But what you both are saying is that adults have failed these kids.
Oh, tremendously.
Systems. And systems have failed.
Does that system also include families, Tim? I mean, if you're looking for a family, that means that you don't have a family that gives you what you need.
Yeah, I want to be careful there, though, Marty, because a lot of the voices in our community say, well, it's about the parents, and parents need to do their job. And that's true. But, you know, mom who's got a drug addiction and spends her time watching Love and Hip Hop Atlanta and Real Housewives is not going to all of a sudden get that message, pop up, get a job, and be a responsible mom. We as a community have to figure out how to best serve these children who are coming from families that are torn up. Mm-hmm. And if we keep saying, well, we have to wait till parents get to, it's never going to change.
Exactly. I agree with that completely.
But that then involves schools.
Yep.
Yes.
It involves, I mean, the organizations that all of you represent, or the both of you represent here.
Mm-hmm. The systems.
Yeah. The
systems. Systems, yes.
Well, are the schools up to the task? It's a big task to not just educate children, but also to help raise them.
Definitely. And are the school? I think the schools are up for the challenge. Again, they have a lot of issues that they're dealing with right now. I mean, the city has had, I think, 23 of their 26 schools been named as failing schools under No Child Left Behind. They're developing the state is developing a RAC, a regional achievement center that will specifically be monitoring and working with the public school system to better itself. And, you know, I think that they're up for the challenge, but I think that they also deal with a lot of, you know, issues that come into their classroom that affect learning. If a child hasn't eaten, if a child hasn't slept, if a child witnesses domestic violence the night before, these are a lot of things that perhaps suburban kids don't also bring into the classroom with them. I mean, if you're starving, it's going to be hard to really concentrate on what's mm-hmm. going on in the classroom.
Tim, about a minute before our first break, go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, I really think it's new wine and old skins. I think the paradigm needs to be exploded. I think unless we adopt 21st century approach to education, this is not going to work. We're going to have the same problems. We're trying to push kids when we should be pulling them. And so I would say that they're not up to the task. I think they're way over their head.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a very short break and then get back to our conversation. We are talking about Camden with two guests who know the city very, very well. The voice you just heard, Reverend Tim Merrill, longtime pastor who's been working in and around Camden, working with young people who are at risk. He's a youth ministry coordinator for the Asbury United Methodist Church, also director of the Rosedale Baptist Community Ministries, and co-founder and senior advisor of the Community Education Resource Network. Tracy Swan, also with us, senior project coordinator for the Walter Rand Institute for Public Affairs at Rutgers in Camden, overseeing their public safety projects, including Camden Safer Cities Initiative, Operation Ceasefire, and a prison reentry initiative with the New Jersey Department of Corrections. We do want to hear from our listeners in Camden. Give us a call, 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Stay with us. Call us. We'll be right back.
The Philadelphia Speakers Series, presented by Widener University, returns to the Kimmel Center for the 2012-13 season. 7 engaging and thought-provoking evenings with some of the world's most interesting people, sharing their fascinating behind-the-headline stories, and including a special guest speaker you won't want to miss. More information on the complete lineup of speakers is available at PhiladelphiaSpeakersSeries.org, sponsored by WHYY.
4 years ago in Denver, Democrats nominated Barack Obama for president.
With profound gratitude and great humility, I accept your nomination for presidency of the United States.
This week, President Obama addresses the Democratic Convention in Charlotte. I'm Mara Liasson. Join us for special coverage from NPR News.
Tonight at 8 on WHYY.
Next time on Tell Me More, we'll hear about the rising stars being featured at this year's Democratic National Convention, and we'll meet the first person to propose a gay rights plank at a national convention. That was only 40 years ago. That's next time on Tell Me More.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowane talking with Tracy Swan and Tim Merrill about Camden, some of the problems the city faces, and some of the work that both of our guests have been doing, and just a couple open lines at 1-888-477-9499. Tim, right before the break, you said we have to figure out a 21st century education model, one that pulls children, not pushes. What does that mean?
Well, there needs to be an incentive for children. Children have to realize a hope that encourages them to own their own education. And right now, they really cannot connect their education to any prospect pertinent to their lived experience. And until we adopt some 21st century models, which means that we can't blame the parents, we can't blame the teachers, we have to develop a creative system where children get a thorough and efficient education. And I just don't hear that creative kind of thinking coming out of our school district.
Go ahead. I'm just thinking that just raises a whole host of questions, sure, and issues, but go ahead, Tracy.
Well, one of the hopes that I wanted to talk about that directly relates to education is that this year, this academic year, there are two new what we're calling YES centers, Youth Education and Employment Centers, that are being opened in two of the community centers in the city, one in North Camden at the North Camden Community Center and the other at the Isabel Miller Community Center. And this is a model that comes out of Rutgers University, the gateway organization at Rutgers. And it exists in Newark, and they opened one a couple years ago in Trenton, and now they're opening in Camden. And what they will do is they'll help re-enroll kids who have dropped out of high school to drop back in to school, and they'll provide academic and other supports necessary so that they can finish high school, get a high school diploma, or get their GED. Initially, they could be re-enrolled back into the public school system, but if they find that, you know, that's not for them, mm-hmm, that's what, you know, maybe perhaps why they dropped out in the first place, bullying, inadequate resources at the school, whatever it may be, there are other organizations in the city who offer or alternative schools. I believe even Reverend Merrill, you have an alternative school.
Right, the Community Education Resource Network.
Yes.
Where kids can then be referred to these, mm-hmm, alternative schools to get their, mm-hmm, high school diploma or GED.
What's different about the school, the students involved in your program?
Well, I think the big difference is, and this is true of many of the efforts in Camden that are often good efforts, but I think one of the fundamental differences is that in many of these programs, those who they are designed for are viewed as clients, where our program, they're viewed as neighbors. And that makes a big difference. So my colleague Angel Cordero has deep roots in the community, as do I. We both live in the community. And so the young people that we are educating, we've never asked for advertisement or anything like that. It's based on relationships. Mm. And when you have people who have a right relationship with the community, things happen in a very different way. And it allows you to meet the needs of those who are most in need versus someone that you consider as a client. So the unfortunate thing, and you know, you talk about hope in Camden, CERN was a hope, but is out of money because no one's been willing to invest in it because it's dangerous. But yet,
why is it dangerous?
Well, because we educate the Crips, the Bloods, the Latin Kings, the tough girls, the bulliers, the third grade level kids who are 17 years old, and so people, even though we haven't had a fight in our school, people view it as a dangerous situation, and so we haven't had the investment that we should have. We've had the governor come to our graduations and the commissioner of education, but we haven't had a check. so that's what happens so often in a grassroots community in the city of Camden. Right. People don't have the vision to invest.
Well, you know, I have to say, this is not the first time we've had people in from Camden talking about the work that they are doing. So clearly there are a lot of people on the ground,
sure,
doing innovative, important work, and yet Camden's problems continue. What's the disconnect, Tracy?
Well, I think that the disconnect is that there are all these pockets of hope and potential hope occurring in Camden, but it's bringing it to scale, so that all families, all children can be impacted by these smaller initiatives. And perhaps funding is an issue that, you know, certain programs can only serve certain number of children or families. I'm not really sure if that's particularly the issue, but over my 10 years or so working in Camden, it seems like bringing these things to scale, it is the issue.
Well, and it always seems with these reform efforts, everything gets reinvented. Something comes up and it works, and then time goes by, and then something else is invented or reinvented.
Definitely.
Education, I think, is a perfect example of that.
Sure, and I think one of the things that Camden has consistently missed is the opportunity to invest in its native sons and daughters, the people who can best deliver services to those in need, the people who are ingrained in the community, the people who have what we call street credibility, street creds, and there has been a consistent failure to invest in these very people. I can rattle off 10 names right now who could revolutionize the city of Camden, young people, if people would just invest in them.
Interesting. Yeah. Let me segue from that to this reentry initiative that I know that you're part of, and this is helping ex-offenders, get their grounding as they come back to Camden. It's a city with a high crime rate, so I'm assuming we're talking about a fair number of people coming back to Camden. We don't want them to reoffend. Mm-hmm. How do you intervene?
Well, the Walter Rand Institute, about 2 years or so, opened up an adult reentry center right on Federal Street. It's called Opportunity Reconnect. And Camden County, by the way, is the second highest county to admit individuals into the Department of Correction system, and thus also receives the second highest number. And a majority of those, although it's very difficult to get a percentage, but a majority of those do come from the city.
Right.
So when we were looking for space for Opportunity Reconnect, we wanted it definitely to be in the city, along bus lines, easy to get to, although it does serve the entire county. And there are services that are offered on site, such as resume building, employment searches, even some GED classes. And we've also invited partners to come and work on site so that individuals don't have to go to 5 different places to receive services. So we had the Board of Social Services on site, so individuals could fill out the initial paperwork to find out if they were eligible for food stamps or other temporary need. And we've had the One Stop on site. We've even had at times parole on site, so the individual doesn't have to go all the way down Mount Ephraim Avenue, report for parole, and then hike it all the way over to Federal Street to go to Opportunity Reconnect. So the idea is to have one physical space where individuals can come and be in receipt of a bunch of different services to help them get on track. So since it's been opened, I believe, now I was on vacation for the last 2 weeks, so the numbers could have increased, but I believe they've seen over 2,000 unduplicated individuals coming into the center, and then those individuals come back several times as well.
Have you seen a reduction in recidivism?
Well, that's the thing. A lot of programs that are funded, that's the measure that they want to use, is reduction in recidivism. And I'm not necessarily a big fan of that as a measurement. It makes sense to me why they use that. But to change the whole, you're looking at the whole of whatever geographical area, Camden County or Camden City, in the recidivism, and you're serving X percent. And 2,000 out of the 200,000 that come and go into the Department of Corrections system each year, that's a small percentage. And I think it's unfair to measure the entire recidivism rate against that. But certainly there are individuals, we have many individuals who are successes and have changed their life around.
We are talking about Camden. That's Tracy Swan, Senior Project Coordinator for the Walter Rand Institute for Public Affairs at Rutgers in Camden. Also with us is Tim Merrill, longtime pastor who's been working in and around Camden, specifically serving young people who are at risk. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Tim, anything you want to add to what Tracy was just saying?
Yeah, I think there are people that are doing great work in the area of reentry. But I think added to that, there needs to be some change, some structural change in what happens before they come out. There are some things that we're not doing in at the institution level. And also, if Camden is going to change, we have to start taking hard looks at things like drug laws. There are too many people entering into the system, and it dominates the culture of Camden. It dominates the culture in so many ways. It'd take me 4 hours to fully describe. But we have to do something about the number of young people, especially, that are going into the system.
Who are going into the system because of drug-related crimes.
And most of them are going in for nonviolent drug-related crimes.
Go ahead, Tracy.
And to that point, Reverend Merrill, through the work that we've done at Opportunity Reconnect, we recently imparted on a 10-month process of comprehensive planning around reentry for Camden County. And we have pulled together a bunch of stakeholders from Camden County as well as the city to look at what is the reentry process that we want for the county. And the plan hasn't been approved or adopted by the county or the city as of yet. We're still putting the finishing touches on. But one of the things that those stakeholders indicated is that they want reentry to start at the time of sentence.
Mm. Yes. Mm.
And so that's much more in the beginning, and it involves, you know, the systems around sentencing as well as incarceration, post-supervision, and then thereafter. And there are some recommendations in there that get to some of the things that you're talking about in terms of some institution system-wide changes that need to occur.
Let me give you a quick example.
Go ahead.
Just think about the difference in the life of someone who comes out of the institution with a driver's license and a GED versus what we have. We have young men that are coming out of the system, no driver's license, but a bunch of fines. No GED, but a bunch of fines. So how are they paying these massive fines? They're going right back out on the corner, they're selling drugs, and are getting recycled back into the system. A simple change like a GED and a driver's license could make a world of difference.
Let me put something else on the table then. I do want to get to our callers. As we know, there are plans, and it's been instituted a more regional police force, and it's based on probably finances and a whole host of other reasons. Tim, what's your reaction? What's your response to the idea of a regional police force in Camden? You both have said, you know, you can't police this issue entirely, but nonetheless, does this solve part of what we've been talking about?
I wish this were the germane issue, but it's not. I think it comes down to trading in one ineffective police force for another. And quite frankly, I have not seen adequate research that confirms that this is a better way of doing this. And the way that it has been pushed on the community makes me very discomforted. If it's worth doing, it should be done in the light of day. The community should have ample time to consider what is being proposed with all the pertinent information. And we have not had that kind of civic engagement process around this issue.
What do you think, Tracy?
Well, it's hard for me to say whether, you know, I think that the new proposal is a good proposal or not a good proposal, because there really hasn't been a lot of facts that have been given about the new proposal outside of the finances.
Right.
I do believe, as I said earlier, that you can't arrest your way out of the problem, and it's a very complex social problem. I think with additional law enforcement resources, if those resources work collaboratively with government, with residents, with the nonprofit sector, even with the private sector, that there's better hope that things can change than just alone having more police on the street is going to make a big difference.
Let me get some callers in on the conversation. We are talking about Camden and taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. And it looks like we have William from Rutgers, Camden. And William, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
I believe in real change, and I think that starts with physical change. You ever hear the broken window theory?
Sure.
Your physical environment has a direct influence on influencing the behavior around you. And one of the things I think that's going on with Camden is it reminds me of parts of Najaf when I was in Iraq. And I think the city council should take drastic steps in trying to demolish some of these abandoned warehouses and buildings, and I think that'll have a strong deterrent and a good step in the right direction into improving the situation again.
Oh, well, William, I appreciate the call, and I see Tracy nodding her head vigorously. Interestingly, he's making comparisons between Iraq, which was a war zone, and Camden.
And I do believe that that is somewhat of a fair comparison in terms of the physical nature of Camden. You know, I challenge anyone to drive through, not, you know, down to the waterfront, but to really drive through some of the neighborhoods. And you'll see streets and streets where maybe there are 10 houses, but only one is inhabitable. And, you know, whether, I mean, that's certainly an attractor to crime and to other lawlessness. But also, how would you feel if you lived in a place like that? I mean, you're not going to wake up every day and feel like, wow, this is, you know, my neighborhood looks great. You know, I'm ready to challenge, take on the day. And I just, I do believe there are too many abandoned properties, you know, in the city.
What do you see, Tim?
Well, I want to be careful about the comparison. Camden is not Iraq. I understand the physical comparisons, but we don't have improvised explosive devices going off.
Fair enough.
You know, I've raised my kids in Camden. I would not be raising them in Iraq. But this is one of the areas where we need some creative thinking. Why can't we get some of these abandoned houses back on the property tax rolls? Why can't the state and the city work together to provide some property tax relief and amnesty programs so that our young entrepreneurs can purchase some of these houses and turn them into profit-making ventures? We just haven't not had that kind of creative thinking that changes the faces of neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Like we're talking, right down Broadway, when you get past Spruce Street, you see exactly what we're talking about, just rows and rows of it. And this is the main drag of our city. And it's an embarrassment. And for, you know, Governor Christie to tout his accomplishments on national television, what about Camden? What about the poorest city in this nation being in your state, the most violent in your state, but we haven't had creative ideas to turn this around?
Does it also, though, point a critical finger at the mayor of Camden and other members of the current government today?
Well, if you know Camden, you know that the mayor is not the real issue because the mayor is not elected as much as she is appointed. And that's been the case for Camden is a machine city. Camden is a city that if you're going to win elected office, you have to be on the right side of the machine. So the mayor has very limited power. And so the city has to cooperate with the state and the federal government and come up with some creative solutions that are out there that can be done.
Well, again, we're almost up in a break here, but picking up what Tracy said about living in a place that where you've got all these abandoned buildings, it does affect your mood, your mentality, your view of your future, your life.
There is a syndrome in Camden. And it affects the psychological health of everyone, including me, that lives in the city. I've said from my pulpit that raising children in Camden is a form of child abuse, which means I have abused my children because of the things that you have to live with. Think about it. Our per capita murder rate, the highest in the nation, I believe, right now, in a small city of about 70,000 people, what does that do to the psyche of young people and families that live there?
Let's take that short break. We'll get back to our conversation talking about Camden today on Radio Times with Reverend Tim Merrill and Tracy Swan. And we've got a full bank of calls. We'll get some more callers in after this very short break. William, thanks for the call. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Mann Center and AEG Live support WHYY. Sunday, September 16th, Bon Iver live in concert at The Mann, and October 3rd, it's Animal Collective. Tickets for Bon Iver and Animal Collective live at The Mann at Ticketmaster.com or ManCenter.org.
On the next Fresh Air, a comparison of the Obama and Romney economic plans. We talk with David Leon Hart, Washington Bureau Chief of the New York Times. He won a Pulitzer Prize last year for his Times columns about the economy. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
I'm I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. Young veterans in Charlotte are finding the sense of purpose the military gave them as entrepreneurs. Anyone from micro-brewed beer that salutes troops? Also, from dueling banjos to I Love NASCAR, the songs that were birthed in Charlotte. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture, here and now.
Today at noon on WHYY.
Greensgrow Farm supports WHYY. The Greensgrow Camden Mobile Markets are open Thursdays and Fridays in 8 Camden neighborhood locations. Full details at greensgrow.org/Camden.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoe, talking about Camden with Tracy Swan, Senior Project Coordinator for the Walter Rand Institute for Public Affairs at Rutgers in Camden, and also Reverend Tim Merrill, longtime pastor who's been working in the city. He's a Youth Ministry Coordinator for the Asbury United Methodist Church, Director of the Rosedale Baptist Community Ministries, co-founder and Senior Advisor of the Community Education Resource Network. Let me get back to our callers. Looks like we have Antonio from Newark. And Antonio, go ahead, you're on Radio Times.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment. I actually spent my life working with several different nonprofit organizations tackling these issues, as well as been an active mentor at Colonial School District in Delaware. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually from the rough streets of South Jersey. So, you know, I've actually grew up in this environment, this type of environment similar to Camden, and have a lot of experience on that. I resent the comment about these kids needing some type of excitement. This is clearly just a poverty issue. I've grew up with several friends that I still know to this day that have been, you know, involved with drug trafficking in their lives, and I've, you know, seen it firsthand. It's clearly a poverty issue. Mm. It's a survival thing. It's a survival tactic. You're going to do whatever you need to do to provide food for yourself, clothes on your back, and then take care of your family. A lot of these young teenagers that are out on these corners, they have kids. You know, they come from families where, you know, they miss meals, and you know, they you know, very seeing hard times all their lives, and they wanted an out.
Well, Antonio,
and the out was when somebody placed a drug in their hand,
sure,
and told them they can go on a corner and make $100 in an hour.
Well, Antonio, hold on one second, because I want to give Tim Merrill a chance to respond to your comments.
And Antonio tells part of the story. First of all, about excitement. All kids need excitement in life. They're young people. They have energy. They need not just Camden kids, not just kids in ghettos, but all kids need that. But a place like Camden that does not have those opportunities readily available to these young people are going to seek some excitement. You know, watch YouTube and see all the things that young people invent when they don't. The other part about it is that's part of the story, and I think we talked earlier about it's more than just the money, because I can take you out today, I can leave here today and introduce you to 25-30 young men selling drugs who do not miss meals, who come from decent families, who want something better for them. It's a complex issue, and we can't reduce it down to the kid has to feed his family. I know those kids. I do know those kids, but I know an equal amount. I have one young man who was on the run from a drug charge, who went and matriculated at a university while he was on the run. Because he was an intelligent young man who did not need to sell drugs to feed his family. So that's part of the story. And I want us to be careful that because we need to tell the fuller story.
Tracy, anything you want to add to that?
Well, as I was telling you before the show started, Marty, you know, I always thought it would be really interesting to develop a program that dealt with helping individuals come out of the drug life, the street life. You know, a lot of individuals who have gone in because of drug charges, you know, they'll come out with some kind of requirement to do drug and alcohol treatment or counseling. And I've talked to these individuals and they'll say, I don't do drugs. I just sell drugs.
That's right.
And it is a lifestyle, and it's a choice that they're making, but it's difficult to get out and leave that lifestyle and to have some kind of program that helps them, you know, change their cognitive thinking around that lifestyle and making a different choice.
Antonio, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Let's see what Jessica from Camden has to say. Jessica, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm there. Jessica with the New Jersey Tree Foundation.
Yes.
I'd like to thank Tracy and Tim for all their work in the city, and also thank you for the chance to be on the air today.
Sure. No,
I walk the streets of Camden often, and I just wanted to say a little something about how inspired I am every day by the individuals that live in Camden that make such a difference for the kids on their block. You know, I'm talking about one person who cares for 30 kids just in a one-block radius, you know, takes them in gardens with them, organizes back-to-school events for them, feeds them, and I get to meet these people because they're the ones that apply for trees on their block, and it is amazing, and they're the glue that holds it together, and I just, you know, I really agree so much with that organizations and entities need to step up with opportunity for kids. You know, I have kids follow me all the time, it seems to me that the only success they're seeing in their neighborhood, and I do agree with Reverend Merrill, that some of the drug trade is not successful, but some of the people driving the nicest cars may not have the, you know, they may be in the drug trade, and so these kids are seeing that as a role model, and I just think that speaks volumes to that we all need to step up in changing that.
Well, Jessica, I appreciate your call and your work as well, and again, I'm tossing that back to you, Tracy Swan.
Well, I would definitely say that one of the hopes in Camden is Jessica and the New Jersey Tree Foundation. She and her organization have done wonderful work all over the city. And, you know, you think about planting a tree in your front yard, taking care of that tree, or planting a garden. How is that really going to change lives in the city of Camden? But it really brings neighbors together, because neighbors have to say, I will take care of this tree. I will sign on and take care of this tree for 10 years or however long that they need to do that. And it brings people outside of their homes. You know, one of the big things that happens in Camden is that those who are law-abiding are afraid to, sometimes, to go out of their homes. And I think once we let the fear grab us, it's almost like they've won. And so whenever I hear Rutgers students or others from outside of Rutgers say, oh, my God, I can't believe that you work in Camden, and, you know, oh, I don't want to go over in that neighborhood, you know, you're letting this element become more powerful, and you shouldn't be afraid. There are lots of very safe places in Camden, and if you're there doing the right thing, doing, you know, lawful activities, you know, good things are going to happen with you.
Go ahead, Tim.
Well, you know, Jessica spoke about the woman on her block that's feeding the kids and planting trees and taking care of the neighborhood. This is the kind of person that needs investment, because they are right there, ground level with the community. But this is one of the failures to invest. I have proposed this to the Commissioner of Human Services years ago, that why don't we deliver social services in a way that lets this woman continue to do what she does, but help her bring this kind of thing to scale. But she doesn't have anyone to write a grant for her. She doesn't have a legal team, an accounting team, but she is the most effective. I know a young man in the city who has an education program that graduates 99% of the young men involved, 97% go to college, and 94% finish. Nobody knows about Albert Mitchell, and he's doing a great work, but he doesn't have the team behind him to bring that program to scale. And it seems that it's only those who have the administrative structure behind them that get the funds to make things work.
Go ahead, Tracy.
Well, one thing that might address what Reverend Merrill was just saying is that the city recently created a Congress of Residents and grassroots organizations, and they've brought those individuals together to help them have a voice and power to change.
Well, at least they brought some individuals together.
To change.
I don't know if we're talking about the same individuals.
To change the physical and social conditions of their communities.
Right.
So, you know, if there are individuals out there, like Reverend Merrill was just saying, you know, I think that if they're not part of this Congress, they should give City Hall a call to see if they can become part of this, because I think that is trying to provide some administrative support.
I think one of the issues is we that have been here all of our lives have seen this time and time again, and we haven't seen fruit from it. So there is a high level of distrust. There's a high level of disenfranchisement and alienation on a part of people who are trying to get things done. We've dealt with the city over the years, and we have been frustrated time and time again. So it's going to take some true evangelism to get folk back involved.
Jessica, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Let's see what Jim from Reading has to say. Jim, go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I'll get right to the point.
That'd be great.
As far as in the creative ideas, thinking outside the box. What we could be doing is these inmates, they go through their programs, they do various anger management and so forth programs. Oh, by the way, I just left the prison about half an hour ago. I'm a religious volunteer working with these prisoners.
Okay.
Then what they need is when they get out, their spouses and their children are in that community where they just came out of. If we were able to provide some safe environment for the women, for the children, and help them develop good parenting skills and good rapport with the neighbors so that they're not in that negative environment. And when the inmates come out, they see a whole different milieu that they are now able to function and provide some type of support. Otherwise, you're getting back in the same situation. That's my comment.
I hear you, and I appreciate the call to Radio Times, Jim and Tracy, only because you're involved in a reentry program for ex-offenders.
Well, I think what Jim was referring to is some type of family reunification support, and also while individuals are on the inside, to continue to have family conversations and family linkages. And certainly our correction systems could do a better job with that. Often people are placed hours away from their home, or there's exorbitant telephone charges to keep in touch. But, you know, even something as simple as using video conferencing equipment that's available in a community where families can go and meet with their, you know, loved one who's on the inside to keep that relationship going, so that when they don't feel completely isolated, and that when they come back, it's easier to come back as one unit than if there was nothing like that.
I want to quote something, Tim, that you actually posted on an NPR site after Liz Fiedler, WHYY's Liz Fiedler, did a story about Camden and this regional police force. And Tim, you wrote, "Unfortunately, Camden cannot police its way out of the mess it has been mired in for decades," something we've been talking about. Then you say, "Issues of regional exploitation of the city, a ferocious suburban appetite for the drugs and prostitution here, a legacy of political corruption, a failed education system, and the exodus of job-producing industries from the city have long overwhelmed the ineffective and often corrupt Camden police force." I was interested in this ferocious suburban appetite for drugs and prostitution. You're saying that people coming into Camden from the suburbs looking for those two things.
Consistently, when there is a sweep of drug purchasers, 70% are from outside of the city. Mm. Same with prostitution. And most of the prostitutes are not from the city of Camden. Sometimes they are dropped off in the city of Camden from other townships. I could take you right now to North Camden, right along the river, and you will see a stream of suburban drug users coming up to purchase and to use their drugs. There's even a mom who has come out there, dropped her son off, and asked, "Why are you out here?" She said, "If something's going to happen to my son, I want to be here to help him in his situation. My father-in-law has a farm there, a little urban farm, and right outside his farm is every day a steady stream of suburban drug dealers coming to purchase their goods."
Drug dealers or drug users.
Camden could not have the vibrant drug market that it has if there were not the suburban appetite for the drug. So when we talk about the values of urban America and the breakdown of the family, we're having a one-sided conversation, because what about the values in the homes of these suburban young people, and what about their family breakdown that's driving them to Camden to buy heroin, crack cocaine, and wet?
Let me get Jerry from Camden to join us on Radio Times. And Jerry, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? Last time I called this show was you talked about Camden.
There you go.
I just want to say,
I know you're
really back against the wall, but I just want to say good job to Merle. You know me, I know you.
What's up, Jared?
But one thing I think we want to talk about is this: is that it's the leadership in this city. You guys try to do a great job at the community level, but as soon as you get to the top level, the leadership, the council, and the mayor, there's a problem. Case in point: Camden doesn't have a library system. Camden doesn't have destiny over its waterfront. Now Camden doesn't have a police department. And it all started back with the water system. This city has to stop getting rid of its resources and our leadership doing it for us.
Well, Jerry, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. I'm sure we'll do another show on Camden, and you can call us again. Tim, do you want to just, since you know Jerry?
Yes, fellow Parkside kid. Yeah, he's exactly right. We need an independent group of leaders in our city, and right now we do not. Look, everyone, you know, the elephant standing in all of our rooms is George Norcross, and those of you that know Camden know that George Norcross is the power boss that controls most of the dynamics politically in Camden. We never elected George Norcross, and he does what a political boss is supposed to do. He wields power, but we elect people, and we're not ready to hear from them, I have to do this because the party boss told me to do it. Mm-hmm. We need independent thinkers and independent leaders if we're going
to
change.
Tracy, about a minute before we have to end our discussion, but go ahead.
I'm not sure if the issue is about offloading certain services, library, water, the police department. I'm not exactly sure if that is the right thing to do or not the right thing to do. But in terms of the library system, the city recently worked with Rutgers University, and we took our library that is on the Camden campus, we expanded it, renovated part of it, and now there's a section of it that is a Camden City library available and open to all Camden City residents. And so, you know, partnering with other organizations could be the answer. When you are a cash-strapped city and you still have to provide services to your constituents, looking for creative ways to be able to do that. And I think the library partnering with Rutgers is one example of a creative way, is where you can still provide the services to your constituents, but do it in a fiscally responsible way.
Well, my thanks to both of you for joining us today on Radio Times. We could go on. I think we covered a lot of territory, and I thank both of you for your work and for joining us as well.
Thank you so much, Marty.
You're welcome. And Tracy Swan, Senior Project Coordinator for the Walter Rand Institute Walter Rand Institute for Public Affairs at Rutgers in Camden. Tim Merrill, a pastor who's been working in Camden with young people, Youth Ministry Coordinator for the Asbury United Methodist Church, Director of the Rosedale Baptist Community Ministries, co-founder, senior advisor of the Community Education Resource Network. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes to find out more about this program. I'm Marty Moscone. Thank you so much for those phone calls. Do stay with us. Hour 2 coming up next.